Okay, we're trying to understand Meleches Machsheves, and the last thing we spoke about, and I'll review it for those who may not have been here, is Meleches Zomer. And the question is whether we can classify Zomer as an Av Melech. And this is a Rambam in Hilchos Shabbos, Perek Zayin Halacha Gimel, and a Rashi in Masechta Shabbos. So the Rambam writes, "Kol echod hazorea zroim or notea ilonos, o hamavrich ilonos o hamarkiv o hazomer, kol elu av echod he me ovos molochos veinyan echod, shekol achas mehen litzameach dovar humiskavin." Rashi is going to disagree with the Rambam, but the Rambam has Zomer as an Av. Not only does the Rambam has Zomer as an Av, but moreover he feels compelled to give an explanation as to why it's an Av. The Rambam realizes that, you know, Rashi's out there arguing with him, and therefore he says, "Kol achas mehen," every one of these actions, activities, is for the same goal. There are different methods of achieving the same goal, the goal in which he's miskaven, he has kavana for, his intention is litzameach dovar, and therefore it's considered an av. Now what we'd like to do is open up Rashi and see where Rashi is holding on this. Rashi is in Masechta Shabbos Ayin Gimel Amud Beis, and it'll take me a minute to get it up here, so bear with me. Ayin Gimel Amud Beis, Dira Maskil Kulon. Rashi says, "Kulon Molocha Achasein, De Zomer Nami Litzmuche Ilonahu." His goal in pruning the tree is to cause the tree to grow, to produce. And he says, "Nafgemina, the Ovidle Kulon Bahadi Zorea Lomachai Velachada." He says that if you violate many different molochos on Shabbos, but they're all done together with the Av Molocha, namely Zorea, so he did Zorea and at the same time Zomer, then he only brings one Karban Chatas, because they all belong to the same Iser. It's like eating Chelev twice. He only brings one Karban for both Achilos. He says, "Islamachai velachadu da'osa malachas harbe." Fine. Then he writes the following, "Zorea av malacha, notea nami av malacha hu, tahaini zorea l'shezeb izron v'zeb ilono, v'chein mavrich umarkiv." So the sheet of Rashi is that we have four avos, all of which are similar and included under Melecha Zorea. He's got Zorea, he's got Notea, he's got Marvrich and Markiv. But then he writes, "Aval Zomer Tolda." So if you violate Zorea and Zomer together, then you only bring one Chatos, because it's an Av and it's Tolda. But Rashi goes out of his way to classify Zomer as a Tolda. Again, if we go back to the Rambam says that Zomer is an Av. That's what it says in the Rambam. O Zomer. So one of the things that we want to do is analyze this machlokus between Rashi and the Rambam, and l'chora the one who's going to help us with this is the Magid Mishnah, because the Magid Mishnah says in Halacha Dalid that the reason why the Rambam is willing to call all of these avos is because it's what he calls a dimyon gomor. Okay, we'll try to explain what the Magid Mishnah means by this. But the Magid Mishnah goes out of its way to point out that even something that wasn't done in the Mishkan is still a candidate for being an Av. And why is that so? Because there's a dimyon gamur, an absolute correlation or comparison to that which was done
in the Mishkan. So, for example, he writes, "Da de kavonas Rabbeinu hishakol malach shidome li'av b'dinyan gamur ela chaluka mimenu bi'echus ha'pu'ula." Now, something about the quality, the way he goes about doing the pu'ula, is a little bit different. But it's got a dimyon gomor. Again, in the case that we're dealing with, the Rambam says that all of these different kinds of pu'ulos are done for the purpose of litzameach, in order to grow and produce. That makes them already avos. And the Magid Mishnah goes on to bring various cases. We don't have to go through the entire Magid Mishnah now, but that's the shita of the Magid Mishnah in the Rambam. If it's not a Dimyon Gomer, then it becomes a Tolda. Now, the Kesef Mishnah here quotes the Ramach. That's in Halacha Beis. And he writes, Kosav Aramach, Temohu, Im Kol Elu Ovos, Amai Choshiv Arboim Chosar Achas. So why does the Mishnah calculate 39 Melochas? Havi Lachshav Yosef Michamishim Ovos. You can calculate more than 50, because here in Zoraya the Rambam is adding another 4, and in Melechas Kotzer the Rambam adds Botzer and Goder and Mosek and Ora. Another 5. I mean, it's just the numbers keep climbing. But the second argument against the Rambam, and this is again the Ramach. The Ramach was the last of the Rishonim, Rabbi Moshe Cohen. V'od, here's the more powerful argument, the objection to the Rambam. And that is the Amrinon, the Gemara says in Masechet Shabbos, and also the beginning of Bava Kamma, Malacha Dahavi B'Mishkan Chashiva Karile Av, to Lo Avi B'Mishkan Karile Tolda. And the Gemara clearly establishes a condition for becoming an Av. You know, your candidacy to be an Av Malacha is contingent upon the fact that you were in the Mishkan. But here, the Rambam's adding all sorts of cases that weren't in the Mishkan. And therefore, they're all toldos. They cannot be avos. That's what it says here in the Kesef Mishnah, the name of the Ramach. We had a discussion once, way back when, as to whether or not the Gemara is actually saying that. Tosfos pointed out at the beginning of Bava Kamma, there were 2 girsos. I don't know if we have time to go through that again, but according to one Girs, it doesn't have to be in the Mishkan. It has to be Chashiva. If it has a certain Chashivus, then it could be an Av, even if it wasn't done in the Mishkan. So, I'm not sure if the Ramach has the last word over here. I can certainly empathize with the Rambam, and I can certainly postulate that even something that wasn't in the Mishkan could be an Av, if it has a Dimyon Gomer to the Av, as we saw the Magid Mishnah. Although we're still left with the first question of the Kesef Mishnah, of the Ramach, namely, you've jacked up the number way beyond 39. Even that kash, I don't know if we have to lose any sleep. I don't know if we have to throw out the Rambam sheet because it's only 39. What the Rambam means is that there are 39 main categories of Avos. And within the category of an Av, you can have either another Av, which is, we'll call it a Ko-Av, or you can have a Tolda. And the Rambam establishes the principle of a Ko-Av, meaning that if there's a Dimyon Gomur, then it's an Av. But that doesn't solve my problem for Rashi. Why? Because the Ramach objects to the Rambam on a different count. And he claims that the Gemara has established a precondition for an Av that has to be in the Mishkan, and these weren't in the Mishkan. I'm not so bothered by the Rambam again, because as I said before, the different Girsos, and it could be the Rambam holds that you can have something that if it has a Dimyon Gomer to an Av, even if it wasn't technically done in the Mishkan, it still is an Av. That doesn't bother me, but Rashi bothers me. Because Rashi himself, if you recall, is willing to affirm that Notea and Markiv and Mavrich are all Avos. And yet, they weren't done in the Mishkan. But then he says, Avol Zomer Tolda. Now, Mimarshach, where does Rashi stand over here? Is he in the camp of the Rambam? Is he in camp of the Ramach? He seems to be fudging it, Rashi. If he's in the camp of the Rambam, then Zomer likewise is Litzomeach Ilona, and therefore it should be counted as an Av. And yet Rashi insists that Zomer is a Tolda. If, on the other hand, Rashi belongs to the camp of the Ramach, which means that the precondition to be an Av has to be in the Mishkan, then why does he agree with the Rambam that we could elevate the status of Markiv and Notea and Mavrich to that of an Av? They weren't done in the Mishkan. So we're stuck in this kind of in-between state as far as Rashi is concerned. So what I wanted to study with you today is the insight here of Rabbi Nachum Zemba in the Tosas time. And hopefully you have a photocopy of that you can follow in the text. And we're up to a paragraph number Gimel, if you have such a thing. It should say Vinira Diesh Lefarish. Now, just to review as background to appreciate what he's about to do, we have a machlokas between Rashi and the Rambam on a very fundamental issue about Chatzi Shir on Shabbos. And we want to know if the fact that the Rambam and the Rashi are going to argue about Zomer and argue about Chatzi Shir, if that's coincidental. And what the Totzos Chaim is going to try to convince us, and we have to be the jury here to see if we agree with him or not, is that it's not coincidental. And that the machlokas between Rashi and the Rambam about Chatzi Shir, and the machlokas between Rashi and the Rambam about Moleches Zomer, is Hainu Hach. It's what you call a Shitaso. Or you could call it Havad Talia. It's interdependent. So let's just review the machlokas between Rashi and the Rambam that we discussed in the past about Chatzi Shir. The Rambam integrates Chatzi Shir with Akira without Hanocha. And the Rambam says about both of them, let's say he carries less than a grogeris, or he carries a full grogeris, but he never puts it down in a resting place. That's called Akira without Hanoch. The Rambam says about all those cases that it is Potter Aval Asur, which means it's only an Isur Drabbanan, and on a Doraisa level, it's not a Malacha. Now, in the case of Oker Velo Meniach Nicha, I understand very well that's not called a Malacha, because one of the elements that define the Malacha is Hanocha. You have to put it down in a stationary place. In fact, you need a place that's a Makom Dalet Al Dalet. It's got to be secure. So I understand that Akira without Hanocha is a Chatzi Malacha. It's not a complete Malacha. And therefore, on a Doraisa level, he hasn't violated anything. But when the Rambam adds the case of Chatzi Shir, where he did both Akira and Hanocha, just instead of having a full grogeris, he's got a half a grogeris, to say Potu Avalasu, that's not a Malacha, that Lechora is a Chiddush of the Rambam. The Rambam holds that Chatzi Shir is not an issue of Chatzi Shir, as we call it in universal terms, but rather it's an issue of Chatzi Malacha. And therefore it's the same, it's equivalent to an Akira without Hanocha. And that's based on the principle of Meleches Machsheves that tells me that to do a Malacha, it's got to be a Malacha Chashuva. And a Malacha Chashuva means it's got to be a full Shir. We saw already in the Rashbam that sheet exists. The Rashbam says explicitly in Bava Basra Daf Nun Hey that if you bake half of a grogeres, or if you carry half a grogeres, he says that's a p'tur of Meleches Machsheves. He doesn't invoke the principle of Chatzi Shir. It's not a Chatzi Shir, it's a Chatzi Malacha. Rashi, on the other hand, goes on record as saying that Chatzi Shir applies to Malacha as well. It's not a Chatzi Malacha, it's a full Malacha, but it's only a Chatzi Shir. And Rashi would say that there's a fundamental difference between Ze Oker Velo Hiniach and the case of someone who carries half a grogeris. In the first case, he is not in violation of Melech HaShabbos at all. That's a Chatzi Malacha. He didn't complete the Malacha. But in the second case, he completed the Malacha, albeit on less than a shear, and Rashi invokes the principle of Chatzi Shir Asim in HaTorah. Rashi sends us to Masechta Yuma, where we paskin like Rabbi Yochanan, Chatzi Shir Osim Min HaTorah. So we have now to summarize a fundamental machlokas between Rashi and the Rambam, which is also the Rashbam against Rashi, and that is, what's the status of Chatzi Shir Molocha? Do we consider it a Chatzi Shir, and we apply the universal standard principle of Chatzi Shir, or do we say it's a Chatzi Molocha, it's an incomplete Molocha, it's lacking in the Chashivus of a Molocha, it's not a Moleches Machsheves. Now, today, we have another machlok between Rashi and the Rambam. And that's about Melechet Zomer, whether it's an Av because it's a Dimyon Gamur to the Av of Zoreah, or no, it's a Tolda because presumably it wasn't done in the Mishkan, as the Ramach says, but then that's a problem because the same sheet of Rashi that rejects Zomer as an Av accepts many other forms of Zoreah as Ovos, even though they weren't done in the Mishkan, and then we have to find some sort of integral understanding of Rashi. But the point of the Totzos Chayim is, and this is absolutely shocking, that it's all Lishitosam, that the same Rashi who holds that Chatzi Shir is a Chatzi Shir in Melech HaShabbos is the same Rashi who holds that Zomer is a Tolda. And the same Rambam who holds that Chatzi Shir is Chatzi Molocha, it's not even a Molocha, it's Molechas Machsheves, it's not a Molocha, holds that Zomer is an Av. Ribono Shel Olam. What is going on over here? I don't question the genius mind of the Totzos Chaim, but at the face of it, superficially at least, before we get into it, they're two separate issues. I mean, coincidentally, it's Rashi and the Rambam, but that doesn't have anything to do with the content, the substance of the issue. They're two different issues, and they don't seem to be related one to the other. Okay. So now we have Oth Gimel here, in which he summarizes the machlokas here between the Rambam and Rashi. He starts with the Rambam, who says that v'chein anoteiv ha'mavrich v'amarkiv v'zomer kulam avos hen. They're all avos, including zomer, shekulam echad. They're all the same. Why are they all the same? Letzameach dover hu miskaven. Please underline the word miskaven, because the Rambam here is shifting the emphasis to kavana. Kavana meaning your goal, your objective. Rashi, on the other hand, rejects the Rambam with regard to Zomer, and we ask the Mimon Nefshach, if Rashi subscribes to the Ramach that there's no such thing as an Av Malacha that wasn't in the Mishkan, and therefore Zomer could not possibly qualify as an Av, why is Rashi willing to embrace Notea and Mavrich and Markiv? These were not done in the Mishkan, as the Ramach points out. So we're up to a section that starts V'nire Disvaras Plugsasam. Can you find that?
Yes.
Okay. Is it a separate paragraph in your...
No,
it's not. Okay, so see if you could put an arrow there. I also had a copy, but I don't see it now. So my copy has it as a separate paragraph. Okay. Now, just to give you a little background, there's something called a chakira. A chakira means that you can look at one halacha or one halachic principle in two different ways, fundamentally different. And this is something that was typical of the Lithuanian method of learning, especially Reb Chaim, and Yesh Lachar. Yesh Lachar means an investigation in which we present two possibilities, and ultimately we're going to try to remove one possibility, eliminate it, and by possibilization, we're going to embrace the other possibility. And it'll give us an insight and understanding into the underlying principles, the mechanics of the halacha. And once having done so, we can derive many, many conclusions. That's what a chakira is all about. And here, we have a chakira in Meleches Machsheves. We've been talking a lot about Meleches Machsheves, but what is Meleches Machsheves? Is it a din in the Melech or a din in the Chiyuv? Let's explain. One possibility is to suggest that Meleches Machsheves defines the Melech itself. Without Meleches Machsheves, it's not a Moloch. It doesn't have the halachic status of a malacha. It doesn't have a shem malacha. The other way of saying it is that no, Meleches Machsheves adds a condition in the chiyuv, not in the malacha. Meaning, I'm not chayev if I omitted or if I was lacking, deficient in Meleches Machsheves, but the malacha itself is complete even without Meleches Machsheves. That second tzad is very new to us. We're generally inclined to believe that Meleches Machsheves is a definition of what constitutes a malacha in Shabbos. It defines the very shame, the very essence of the malacha. Without it, it's not a malach. But here, there's a new suggestion, which again, we have to see how we can, you know, flesh it out, so to speak. Namely, that chatzi shir, the absence of a maleches machsheves is not a chisaron in the shem malacha. It is a shem malacha. It's a chisaron external to the malacha, which we call a chisaron in the chiyu. And by the way, he writes here, Yesh Lachar B'chol Meleches Shabbos D'boi Meleches Machsheves, and he quotes here four different sugyas in Shas to prove that in Shabbos you require Meleches Machsheves. We're going to try to go through, hopefully, all four of them. And then he writes, Im Asa B'lo Machshava, if he's lacking this Machshava, Ha'im Havi Zech Yisarim B'Shem Melecha, and he compares it to Akira Bala Anochra, he's missing one of the essential qualities or conditions of a malacha, Mahavi Kachatzi Malacha. Anything that's lacking in Meleches Machsheves is a chatzi malacha. It's not a complete malacha, it doesn't have a shame malacha. Oh, that's why I would underline that word oh. Oh, the Havi Rach Yisarn Bachiv. The Xeris HaKosev, the Af. Even though he did implement a malach, now, Rabbosai, if Rabbi Nachum Zemba was analyzing the p'tur according to Rav Shimon of malach shein tzricha legufo, where he digs a hole and he doesn't need the hole in the ground, he needs the dirt, I can understand that maybe that's a chisaron in the chiyuv. You know, he did the malach, he dug a hole, which is meleches charisha, but he had the wrong kavana in mind. But in other cases of meleches machsheves, I'm very hard-pressed to understand what he's talking about. For example, we spoke about mekalkel. Mekalkel is a chisaron of meleches machsheves that's absolutely objective. I would say that certainly touches on the shem malach, but he's willing to insist, no, it's not a problem in the shem malacha, because you did the malacha, but you did it in a way that was destructive rather than constructive. So you're lacking in a chiyuv. That's pretty radical. Or, for example, we spoke in the past about malacha she'eina miskayemes. You have a kesher, but it's not a kesher shel kayama, it's going to fall apart. To say that a kesher she'eina shel kayama is a malacha, it's meleches kosher, but it's lacking in a chiyuv, that I find very, you know, that's a pill that's hard to swallow. However, keep in mind, Rabosai, that the point of Rav Zemba here is to explain chatzi shir. And he has a sheet of Rashi that chatzi shir malacha is called chatzi shir. It is a malacha, but it's chatzi shir. So you can't blame him for wanting to push the agenda, push the envelope on the fact that maybe even if there's a chisaron in Meleches Shabbos, but it's not so erosive, it's not so essential that it breaks up the very shame malacha. It might be a din in when the Torah says Yechayev. There are all sorts of conditions for when Yechayev. And if you didn't fulfill those conditions, you're not chayev. But it doesn't mean that it's not a malacha just because it was only a chatzi shir. You did bake a half a shir. So the Totzos Chaim definitely has an agenda, has vested interest to try to justify Rashi insofar as chatzi shir might be a malacha. There's no hafka, there's nothing to uproot and undermine the shame malacha, but it's a halach of chisar and chiv. The Torah said, you're not chayim unless you bake a full grogeres, or you carry a full grogeres. Now, there are four sugyas that he quotes to establish this principle of Meleches Machsheves. The easiest one for me is the one in Beitza on Daf Yud Gimel Amid Beis with the Rashi there. And the reason why that's easy for me is because we've seen this in the past. Rashi goes on record as saying that Meleches Machsheves equals Meleches Umnus. And what's the case that Rashi's dealing with here on Daf Yud Gimel Amid Beis? A person collects a bunch of onions into a bowl, and l'chora, by doing so, he is in violation of Meleches Ma'amer, which is gathering sheaves in the field and creating a pile of sheaves. And the Gemara says explicitly here that in such a case it's not Meleches Machsheves. So Rashi says, why isn't it Meleches Machsheves? Rashi says, this is on Daf Yud Gimel Amid Beis in Beitza, because it's not a Meleches Uman. He says, let me just get the Rashi here. Elamai says Rashi, Afal Gav de la Meiser, in other words, with regard to Afrashas Trumas and Meisers, the fruit, the produce is considered Tevel after Gemar Melacha, and that means after you gather it together in a pile, and then at that point you become Chayv and Meiser because the Shem Tevel is Chal, says Rashi, as far as Shabbos is concerned, Meleches Machsheves, the Torah says. Vehi Meleches Umnus. You have to be a bit of an expert, of an Uman. You didn't do anything fancy by just gathering together the onions and putting them in a bowl. And when does the Torah prohibit Melech on Shabbos? When is the condition of Meleches Machsheves fulfilled? That's only if it's a Meleches Umnus. Meleches Umnus Osra Torah. Meaning Nismecha Parsha Shabbos LeMeleches HaMishkan BeParshas Vayakel VaHasam Meleches Machsheves Ksuv. You remember this, Rashi? Does this ring a bell? Mitch, I think you were here when we did this, Rashi, no?
Might be, but I remember.
Okay. So anyway, Rashi, it defines Meleches Machsheves and Meleches Umnus. We found that Unkelus, the Targum himself, says that Meleches Machsheves and Parshas Vayakel is a Meleches Umnus. And again, if I only had this Rashi and identified Meleches Machsheves as a Meleches Umnus, then it could be that I understand Rav Menachem Zeva very well, because it's not that if I gather together the onions and I put them in a pile, then I haven't done Ma'amir. That is Ma'amir. But the Torah says you're only chayav if you reach the level of Umnus. So that could be a din in the chiyuv. But amongst the sugyas that he quotes here, he quotes a sugya in Bava Kama. And this is on Daf Chavav Amid Beis. I was meant to bring in a Gemara Bava Kama, but I probably forgot to do so. Yeah. Okay, so we'll have to leave that out unless somebody wants to bring me a Gemara Bava Kama. You don't mind? Well, that would be a great help. Now, what else do we have? Ayin Krisus Daf Yud Tes Amid Aleph. That I'm excited about. Because Krisus Daf Yud Tes Amid Aleph is something that we studied very recently. In fact, I think it was just yesterday that we studied it. And there, the problem, the issue of Meleches Machsheves deals with the case of Misasek. And what does Misasek mean? So that itself is very complicated. It could be that Misasek means that he mistakenly cut one mechuber when he really wanted to cut another mechuber. At least that's how Tosus understands Misasek. And if that be the case, once again, you know, one could argue, Shkoyf, that's not a chisaron in the malach itself. You know, the fact that he ended up with the wrong date or piece of fruit, whatever it was over there, that doesn't undermine the malach itself, but it's only a din of meleches machsheves. Here the Gemara Bava Kama Daf Chavav Amid Beis gives the case of Haisa Evan Munachas Lo Becheko Velo Hikir Ba. So he's got a stone in his lap and he's not aware of it. Let's say he was sleeping and somebody put it there, then he wakes up and he doesn't know that there's a stone there. And Amad, and he stands up and it goes flying. Now what happened as a result of the stone going flying? So number one linian is Zikin, if it damages someone, Chayav. Okay, we have to know why, but for some reason he's Chayav, he has to pay compensation. But Le'inyan Shabbos, he's Potter. Why? Because Melechas Machsheves Asra Torah. He was unaware of his Maisa of shoving it, of thrusting this stone four amos in Rishus HaRab. Rashi says Melechas Machsheves Asra Torah Shediskavei Lasos Melacha. He had Kavana for a Melacha. Ella, he might be a Shogeg because Sover Shayom Chol O Sover Shamalacha Zos Muteres. But here's a case where he doesn't have any kavanah to do the malacha. He's not even aware of the fact that he has a stone sitting on his lap. In such a case, there's no Meleches Machsheves. Now here in this Rashi, I honestly would be hard-pressed to assume that we're talking about a malacha shlema, but just a ptur in chiyuv. He didn't have kavanah for the malacha. If he didn't have kavanah for the malacha, that's not a Meleches Machsheves. That's not a malacha at all. But again, we're going to have to figure this all out. So that's the Rashi in Bava Kamma. And the last but not least is Tosus in Sanhedrin. Now Tosus in Sanhedrin is based on not so much the sugya in Sanhedrin as much as the sugya in Krisus. Why? Because the Gemara here in Sanhedrin, what office? It's Samach Beis Amid Beis, correct? The Gemara speaks about a case of Niskaven Lagbia Es HaTolush V'Chotech HaSamachubar. Here too, the Gemara is going to apply the principle of Misasek, and he's potter because Meleches Machsheves HaSvetot. That's a statement of Shmuel. And Rashi says that in the case where he was Miskaven Lagbia Es HaTolush, and instead, chatach es hamachuber, inadvertently he cut something that was attached to the ground. Rashi says, he's potu dechsiv, the pasuk says, asher chata ba. In the parash of the chiyuv karban, for a shogeg, it says, asher chata ba, the extra word ba, says Rashi, darshinan beperek safek ochal, which is a perek in Masechta Krisus on daf yutes, prat le misasek. So Tos says, kosher. Lama amale lama le Shmuel leShmuel b'misasik b'shabbos taima d'meleches machsheves asra Torah. Typically, me ba. If Rashi tells us that misasik is potter because of ba, why does Shmuel flex the muscle of meleches machsheves asra Torah? The Torah says ba, and this is not ba. V'yeshloma d'hachikam b'shabbos potter afal pishen nene. Normally, the halacha is that a misasek, let's say chalom v'arayis, is not called a misasek if he has hanah. What would be on Shabbos if he did a malach in such a way that he had hanah? Right? He did a, again, I have to come up with a case, but the Tosa says that afal pishen nene. And he's potter, why? Not because of ba, but he'd be potter from meleches machsheves. Meaning, that if we're operating within the universal framework of misasek, which is derived from ba, then it depends on whether he had anah. If he had anah, then he's not a misasek, and he's chayef. But now that in Shabbos there's an additional reason why misasek is potur, and it extends beyond the first reason, namely, meleches machsheves asra Torah, then he's going to be potur even in a case of kenene, because that wasn't his kavana. He didn't have a kavana to do this malach. And even though he had physical bodily pleasure from it, nevertheless, it's still considered misasik hu patur because of meleches machsheves asra Torah. So it's very critical for the Gemara to establish that the patur of misasik is derived from ba, and that's going to apply in Kol HaTar Kula as a misasik is patur if he doesn't have any anah. Shmuel adds a unique halach in Shabbos of Meleches Machsheves to explain and justify why he would be misasik upotur even if he had physical anah from the mullah. So these are the sources in Shas for the principle of Meleches Machsheves. Okay. Now, in the next paragraph, again, I don't know if you have it as a separate paragraph, it should say, Ubemokom Acher. You have that? Ubemokom Acher. I have it in brackets. I don't know if you have it in brackets. Now, at this point, Rabbi Nachum Zemba quotes a Gemara in Bava Kamma, but this is not the right Gemara Bava Kamma, unfortunately. Okay, so we're going to fudge it now, and I'm going to try to give you the Gemara Baal Peh. Yeah, I don't want to bother you, really. There's enough to how much I can, you know, they're going to say I'm employing you as my workers here. It's, I don't know exactly what, I have to pay you wages. I don't know what it will be. But this Gemara in Bava Kamma on Daf Samach is a major breakthrough in all that we've been learning until now. Thank you so much. As far as Meleches Machsheves. And that is Meleches Machsheves Lechiv. Meaning, we understood until we saw this Gemara that Meleches Machsheves means that in Shabbos is a unique Ptur. And in Kol HaTarku you be chayev, like for example, Melach Hashem is Shrich Laguf according to Rav Shimon is chayev in Kol HaTarku, but in Shabbos he's Potekos B'chisar and Melach HaSmach Shevet. We never entertained the possibility that Melach HaSmach Shevet could be a reason why you're chayev in Shabbos when you'd be Potek in Kol HaTarku. And that's the major breakthrough here of Rav Ash. What's the case? One of the 39 Melachos is Melach HaZoreh with a hay at the end, not Zoreh with an ayin at the end. It means winnowing. He throws up the grain with its chaff, and the wind comes along and blows the chaff off, and then he catches it in the pan. And you chay for that. It's one of the 39 malachas. So the Gemara wants to say, if that be the case, if the wind could complete your action, then in the Zika we have an av called Eish, which means if I burn a fire and then the fire is carried, then I have to pay you damages. Who carries the fire? Who brings the fire from one place to the other? I'm not holding a torch and blowing down and burning down your haystack. The wind blows it. And the Gemara wants to suggest that maybe in the case where the wind blows his fire, he should be chayav. Now it becomes a lot more complicated because let's say Reuven lit the fire. In the meantime, the fire is going nowhere, and it'll probably be extinguished. Shimon comes along and he blows the fire. As soon as he blows it, even the most calm kind of wind can carry it even further. So again, if not for Reuven's blowing on it, then the fire would have been innocuous. So Reuven blows on it, and then we have a third person. Who's the third person? The wind. If you follow my joke here. It's not a person. It's the wind. And that's called Liba Velibsa Haruach. And the question is whether he's Chayev or not. And the Gemara wants to suggest, according to Rava, that maybe he'd be Chayev if it's a Ruach Mitzuya, but if it's a Ruach She'ena Mitzuya, again, it's a whole ganza sugya over here. Rav Ashi says, forget it, he's not going to be Chayev here. Ah, you'll ask me, as the Gemara points out earlier, what about Zoreh, with a hay at the end? Because the halacha is, in Zorah, Yechayiv, and Shabbos, it's considered your action, even though it's Ruach Misayosa, what carries the chaff off? It's the wind. So you see that you can be Mitzareif, the Koach Acher of the wind, to your action, and you're Chayiv your action, even though the Makom HaPatish, the finale, was done by the wind, was accomplished by the wind. And if so, Rav Ashi asks, why not apply the same logic based on Zorah to Liba Velibsa Ruach, that if the Ruach was the Koch Acher to fan the flames and ultimately create a Hezek, then you have to pay for that damage because it's like your action. You're just simply mobilizing or utilizing the forces of nature, in this case the wind, for your benefit. You started the process and now you let the wind complete the process. You should be chayav for such a thing. In Shabbos, you're chayav for it. You throw up the wheat into the air and set it up in such a way that now the wind will carry away the moths, the chaff. And you're chayav for that. Says Rav Ashi, ki amrin in Zoreh v'ruach mesayato. When do we say that you're chayav for Melech HaZoreh, even though it's the wind that ultimately clinches the Malacha Hanini Lillian Shabbos. Only as far as Shabbos, we be chayav for Maleches Zoreh, the Maleches Machsheves Osre Torah. Rashi says Maleches Machsheves Niskaimo Machshavto. He planned that he schemed that the wind would operate on his behalf and complete the Malacha. That's exactly what happened, and therefore it's called Niskaimo Machshavto, and that's Maleches Machsheves Abol Hacha. But here, in the case of Nezikin, where the Torah never said anything about Maleches Machsheves, is Grom of Yalmahu, Grom of Nezikin Potur. He's only a Goren, he's only a cause for this fire, but the wind is what actually carried the flame or fanned the flame. So, Rabosai, we come to a radical conclusion here based on the Gemara of Rav Ashi and Bava Kama, namely that Maleches Machsheves could generate a chiyuv malacha, where in Kol Tarkula, lacking Maleches the requirement of Maleches Machsheves, you'd be potter. And in this section here, he writes that this is a phenomenal Gemara, and it really is going to radically change our understanding of Maleches Machsheves, because what we see is that the Torah is telling us that what creates the malacha, it's the Machsheves. Right, the fact that it's kind of machshavto, that you had planned and schemed to utilize, to activate the forces of nature, in this case the wind, that's what creates your malacha, that's called Maleches Machsheves. You see, the machshava it impacts on the malacha itself. Oh, so here he points out that on this issue there's going to be a major plugta, a major machlokis. Can we derive from Maleches Zoreh and the sugi here of Ravashi that the din of Maleches Machsheves is machadish achiyuv in a case where he wouldn't have been chayav because of Nasis Machshavto, meaning that Maleches Machsheves makes the malacha into a malacha, and the essence of the malacha is the factor called Machsheves. So on this count, he quotes the Ran in Masechet Shabbos. The Ran in Masechet Shabbos, we're going to have to come back to this Ran over and over and over again, but this is a good time to introduce the Ran, you know, and give you a sort of a background to this Ran, which is going to, again, as I say, is going to come up all the time. There's something called Chot Tochos. What's Chot Tochos? Normally, in order to write something, you add ink. If, let's say, you wanted to create letters out of stone, what you would have is a flat stone, and then you would add pieces of stone and form letters. But there's another way of forming letters without actually adding stone, and that is to depress the plane, the surface level, around a letter. In other words, what you leave is, you leave part of the stone protruding in such a way that it forms a letter. And you can do this, if you're an expert at it, in such a way that nobody would even know the difference, whether you actually added stones or these were the original natural stones. If I'm not mistaken, tell me if I'm wrong here, that when the artists carve things in stone, they don't really add anything to the stone. Right. Like, for example, in New Hampshire, right? What's it called? The Four Presidents? No? What am I? Am I making this up? Or nobody knows what I'm talking about?
North Dakota.
Yeah. Oh, it's in North Dakota. What's it called? It has a name, no?
Yeah.
Anyway, the Four Presidents. Mount Rushmore? Yeah. So I'm not sure. Again, what I'm saying is either right or wrong, but even if I'm wrong, I'm right, meaning I just want to use it as an example. That what they do is they chisel away at the stone, and they remove pieces until finally you can see a shape. And you can do this with writing. In fact, it's probably even a stronger writing than adding stone, because you're not really attaching anything, you know, with cement or anything like that. You're simply chipping it away. That's called in the Lashon HaShas, the Gemara in Perek HaBona, in the 12th Perek, called Chot Tochos. And the Ran quotes a Rashba, and the Rashba says that you're chayav for such a thing. That's called Ksiva. And the Ran disagrees. And the Ran says, no, that's not called Ksiva. The Rashba, on the other hand, says that it's true that for other dinim that require Ksiva, like, for example, a Sefer Torah, if you carve out from a stone a Sefer Torah, you're not fulfilling Ksiva. But in Shabbos, where the Torah has a principle called Meleches Machsheves, then the Torah is saying if this is the way you planned, you schemed, you intended to create a Ksiva, and you created a Ksiva, you created Osios, then you're Chayev. So it means that the Rashba understood that Meleches Zoreh, that we saw before, the sugya here in Bava Kamma about winnowing, forms and serves as the paradigm for what a malacha is. Whenever you have an intention, and this kaima machshavto, you were able to achieve the goal that you wanted to achieve. We're all goal achievers, right? Then you're chayv and shabbos. Whereas in Kol Tarkula, you might have been fallen shy of what would constitute a Maisa Mazik, for example, in the case where he blew on the fire and then the wind came along and so forth. So that might not qualify as a Maisa in universal demand, you know, terms. The law doesn't see that as a Maisa. That's called Grama. You set it up in such a way that now nature, the wind, does the action. But in Shabbos, you might be Chayav in such a case. And the case that we're dealing with is Chok Tochos, where you really were only a gorem of ksav. You didn't add anything. You didn't take ink and add it to the page. And yet, according to one school of thought, you're chayav in Melech HaShabbos, whereas in Kol Tarkula that would not constitute ksiva. And the reason why you're chayav in Shabbos is because Melech HaShabbos Osra Torah, which means that Niskayav Machshavto is a reason to be mechayav you in Shabbos as a unique halacha, unique category. However, the Rush in Bava Kamma, there in the sixth parak on Daf Samach, he writes that Zoreh is a Gzeres HaKosuf. Debehochi Chayvei Rachmona, that you're Chayev in Meleches Zoreh in a very unique way. You have 38 Melechas on one side of the equation and one Melech on the other side of the equation. And by standards of the 38 malachas, Zoreh would not constitute a malacha because it's a grama situation where the wind does the malacha, and yet you're chayef for malachas Zoreh. But the Rush claims that lo yalfin and shar malachas mi malachas Zoreh mishum debahachi chivei rachmana. This is what the Torah said, that you're chayef for malachas Zoreh despite the fact that it's only a grama situation. In other words, according to the Rush, the Chiddush of Meleches Machsheves and Shabbos in this context of Grama is only a reflection on one Melacha out of the 39, that's Zoreh, and that's the exception rather than the rule, and we cannot universalize this rule, meaning in all other cases of 38 Melachas, including Kosev, you would not be Chayev for Grama, for creating Eksav. That's not enough to indirectly depress, you know, the area around the letters, and now the letters protrude and you've created a ksav. No, you're not chayev for such a thing. That's called grama. You didn't add anything. You didn't create a writing here. You just removed something. And this is a major machlokas. The Rashba, from his perspective, holds that Zoreh is the rule rather than the exception to the rule. And Meleches Machsheves means im niskayim machshavto yochayev. It's not that Zoreh is the exception, it's a coincidence. No, Zoreh is trying to teach me a lesson about Meleches Shabbos, that from Meleches Machsheves we can create a chiyuv, whereas without Meleches Machsheves you'd be potter. So that's one school of thought. The Rush, on the other hand, says that Meleches Zoreh is not meant to teach us a thing. That Meleches Zoreh has a unique mechanism, and a reason why Yechayv has nothing to do with universal definition of Melech HaShabbos. And Melech HaShabbos is all dependent upon the way you did the action. You know, did you do a Maisa Ksiva? Did you remove the chaff? But the Torah says in Melech HaZorah that Yechayv, if you remove the chaff with the help of the wind. Now, he quotes a whole long list, very impressive, Bekiyas here, of Achronim who delve into this machlokas and analyze it. He's got a Magen Avraham who wants to know whether you chayef for Meleches Tochen if you place the wheat into a rechaim, into a mill, a water mill. Now, the water mill is going to grind the grain and form it right on its own and convert it into a flour. You didn't actually actively, directly create the flour. And the Mogen Avraham wants to know if you'd be chayef for such a thing. And he says that that's the question of groma, and it all depends upon this machlokes as to what Zohar teaches us or what doesn't teach us. If Zohar teaches us that you're chayef for groma even though the wind caused the winnowing, then here too, even though the machine, we'll call it the mill, caused the actual crushing of the grain to make it into a flour, that's the tochein, nevertheless you're chayef for that. If on the other hand we accept the sheet of the Rosh, that Meleches Zorah is the exception to the rule, and we can't derive anything from Meleches Zorah, we go back to the original rule, and our premise is that grum is not called a Maisa, and therefore by setting up the mill to grind your wheat, you're not chayef. And honestly, I'm confused about one point. I don't want to confuse you just because I'm confused. That's not fair. But I don't understand what this issue is. Of course Meleches Zorah is going to teach us. What about Meleches Choresh? How do you do Harisha? Do you actually walk around with a plow? The plow is attached to the ox or the horse or whatever it is. Horse, cow, cow, horse. But it's the animal that does the Harisha. And yet I'm chayef from Meleches Choresh for that. If he rides the horse, whatever it is, he activates the animal. You see clearly that in Shabbos, Meleches Machsheves is defined by how you cause or utilize the forces of nature to create a malacha, to create some sort of an achievement in the world. Anyway, he quotes the Korban Asano, which I didn't get a chance to look up, the Merkabas HaMishnah, which I don't even have access to right now, the Pnei Yoshua, and he has a sefer called the Evan Ozer. And all these Svarim want to know, they analyze, what's the deal with Grum on Shabbos? Do we derive from Zorah that Yechayev, or do we say that Zorah no is in a category of its own? Yayin Shom, he tells you to look specifically in the Evan HaOzer. Now this Evan HaOzer, I'm not sure, I think he lived about 2 centuries ago. I have to do the research on it. He wrote a sefer, if I'm not mistaken, unless it's a different author, that is a commentary on the Ibn Ezra on Chumash. That's not what he's referring to here. And he writes a commentary on Shas. And in the Sugya in Shabbos on Daf Kuf Chaf Omid Beis, he wants to say Asiya Hu Di Asar Achman B'Grama Shari, that the Gemara clearly says that you're part of it for Grama on Shabbos, which means that we have to take Zorah, winnowing, and put it into a little box, and it becomes the exception to the rule, rather than the rule, like the Rosh. So it does seem that there are, you know, the Rayas Lakan U Lakan, that there are proofs on this issue, one way or the other. Then he quotes a Meiri, he quotes a Tosfos in Sanhedrin, and he says the following. This issue as to whether or not Zorah is the Binyan Av or Zorah is the exception to the rule hinges on the following question. What is the role of Machshava in Meleches Shabbos? If you're going to take Zorah and use it as your stepping stone to universalize the principle of Niskayma Machshavto, then it means Machshava defines the Melech itself. And I could have something, an action, which would normally not constitute, according to the standard laws of halacha, as an action. It's grama, because I utilize the forces of nature, and I can upgrade it to the status of halacha based on my machshava, based on the fact that I want to achieve a certain goal, and therefore I set it up so that the universe, the natural forces, will complete and achieve that goal. If I'm chayef for such a thing, meaning Zorah becomes the binyan av, then machshava clearly is essential to the malach itself. But if on the other hand, I'm going to maintain that Zora is the exception to the rule, and you have to lock it up in a box. But the rule is going to be, no, it all depends on my action. Did I do an action to create this result, meaning the malacha? Then you see that Machshavah plays a secondary role. He says, "Ein ech mahani lechadish chiyuv al ze kevod de b'shabes nemer lo sase malacha." All the emphasis is on the asir lo sase malacha. Unehi, even though I grant you the nasta machshavto, he accomplished the goal that he had set for himself. But avo malacha enkan, he didn't do a malacha. Why? Because what determines the malacha? Not the machshava, but the mice itself. The definition of a malacha is inherent in the maisa. Rak maisa hu mechadish shem malacha. Ubazeh, but in all these cases that we gave of groma, is leka maisa v'havi rak groma. That's going to be the rule that patters me up from all malachas, with the exception, of course, of Zoreh. The al-karchach, then what we derive from this is gam machshava here no senes shem malacha banifal. If on the other hand I take the shita of the Rashba and those who want to derive from Zoreh to all the other malachos, namely that it all depends on kiyum and nasis machshavto, then that's what Malachis Machshavos is telling me, that I define the malacha by the machshava. The machshava creates the malacha. That's if we're willing to derive conclusions from Zoreh. That's what I call a binyan av. Ach, im lo yalfina mizora, if we cannot extrapolate from Zora to the other malachas, then shapi yeshlom kepashtei derak asiyahu demachadesh shei malacha, that everything depends on asiyah, and malachas machsheves is something on the outside, you know, it's a sideline. But everything depends upon lo sasa malacha, he emphasized the asiyah, but lo amachshava. Now, he has a number of other sources for this. He has a Rashi in Baba Kama and Daf Lamed Hey. He has, and Rashi addresses the case of a Kalkel. He has a Tosis also in Baba Kama, Daf Lamed Dalet Amud Beis, the Ramasul Chovil, and he has a Yerushalmi in the second parak of Shabbos. It's a Leibedik over here. But basically, this entire discussion, this entire presentation, in a nutshell, is that we have a great controversy as to what Malachas Machsheves is all about, and when is there a Machayev of Shabbos, for Malachas Shabbos. One idea, one position, is that it depends upon Machshava, and if it's Nasis Machshavto, like in the paradigm of case of Zora, he's Chayev in Shabbos, that's what Malachas Machsheves has to offer me, that the Machshava engenders the Malacha, even though it would not be a Maisa in Kol Tarkula. Or do we say no? There's nothing to be derived from Maleches Zoreh, and everything depends upon the Maisa and not the Maleches Machsheves. And this, the Totzos Chaim thinks, is very relevant to his Chakira, which we saw earlier in the paragraph in Nireh. Namely, how do you define Maleches Machsheves? Is it a condition in the very shame Malach, it's essential, or it's a din in the Chiyuv? If you're telling me that Machshava creates a Malacha, and we saw that in the case of Malecha Zoreh, if that's my rule of thumb, then says the Totzos Chaim brilliantly that Machshava defines the Malacha, and Malecha's Machshavas will determine a Shei Malacha. If on the other hand you balk at this, and you're not willing to set up Zoreh as your rule of thumb, but rather rule of thumb is that grom is potu and everything depends upon lo sase kol malacha, the asiyah, the machshava can't create a malacha, then in any case where maleches machshavas is being activated in all those sugyas that we mentioned before, that's only as a tenai in the chiyuv, but has nothing to do with the shame malacha. Well, if this be the case, we begin to understand the machlokas between the Rambam and Rashi about maleches zomer. Why is it that the Rambam is willing to warmly embrace Zomer as one of the Avos, because Zomer, like the other cases of Noteya Mavrich Markiv, is Litzameach Komachaven. Remember, I asked you to underline that word in the Rambam, Mechaven. His Kavona is Le Hatzmiach Esai Gidol Hatzemach. Rashi, on the other hand, is unwilling to embrace Zomer as an Av. Says Menachem, Rav Menachem Zemba, it all depends on this question. Does Machshava define the Malacha or no? Machshava is extraneous to the Malacha. It has to do with the Chiyu, but not to the Gufa Shem Malacha. The Rambam holds that Machshava defines the Malacha. And since Machshava defines the very Malacha, Zomer, insofar as the Machshava is the same identical Machshava as Notea, and the purpose of my pruning the tree is not to reduce the tree, but rather to add power and productivity to the tree. So for my Kavan, it's clearly identical to Meleches Zorea, and therefore it's an Av. Rashi, on the other hand, is not willing to accept that. Rashi holds that in defining Melechus Shabbos, everything depends upon the Asiya. If I'm putting something into the ground, that's called an Asiya of Zorea. But if I'm taking something off the plant, if I'm cutting it down, that could not be an Asiya of Zorea. Maybe in terms of toldos, we can say that the Av and the toldos share the same Machshava, and therefore it's a toldo, but it can't be an Av. Because in order to be an Av, it's got to have the same action, or at least a very similar action to the Av. If it has the same Machshava as the Av, Rashi holds that Machshava never defines a Malacha. Now, again, if you'll ask me, does Machshava define a Malacha, or does it not define a Malacha? Then I have two answers to you. Number one, the Nafkamina is going to be whether you're Chai for Groma, because there the Machshava was Nasei's Machshava. On the other hand, if I say it all depends on the Asiya, and that defines the Malacha, but not the Machshava, then in the case of Groma, there's no Asiya here. And number two, it'll all be determined by this issue about Meleches Zomer. Is it an Av or is it not an Av? The Rambam is willing to upgrade Zomer to the status of an Av. Why? Because of the Machshava. The Rambam holds the Machshava defines the Malacha. And since it's Machshava, it's Litzameach Komachamin, therefore it's an Av. Rashi, on the other hand, is going with the other definition, that Meleches Machshavas Yom Machshava does not define the Malach itself. That's why Rashi would no doubt maintain the sheet of the Ran, that in the case of Chok Tochus, he's not Chayef for Meleches Ksiva, even though Niskayim Machshavto. Ay, Zora is the exception rather than the rule. And therefore, we apply that logic over here to the question of Meleches Zomer could not qualify as an Av, despite the fact that his Machshavas Kavan is identical to that of the Av. Because Rashi puts all the emphasis on what? On the Maisa. And here the Maisa is not similar to Zorea. The other Avos are similar to Zorea, both in the Tzuras HaMaisa, in the Pe'ula, where I add something, right? I take a sapling and I put it into the ground, which is called Markiv, or Markiv in the case where he bends the branch in such a way that it now could go into the ground and then start growing. And notea means he does to Zroim whatever you do to Zroim, he does to Ilanos. And in all these cases, we have a similarity, not just in the Machshava, in his purpose and his goal, but also in the Maisa itself, the Tzuras HaMaisa. Therefore, Rashi could definitely agree to the Rambam that notea, Mavrich, and Markiv can be elevated to the status of Avos. But in the case of Zomer, where he cuts down the tree, I would admit to you, says Rashi, that the purpose, his goal, and his achievement is to increase Gidul, productivity, in the same way that it's Zorea, if I'm willing to call it a toldo. But you can't elevate it to an Av, because it's the Hepech, exact opposite in the Tzuras HaMaisa of Zorea. Here he's being Masalik something from the Karka. On the contrary, Zomer is similar to Kotzer, where he cuts something down. Therefore, Afal Gav de Dome Machshava Lizorea. Rashi holds that Machshava is not absolutely essential to defining the Malacha. The malach is defined by its ma'isa. So even though the machshava was l'shem zriya, meaning legadol es hatzomeach, but the ma'isa itself was not a ma'isa of zorea. And if it's not a ma'isa of zorea, it cannot qualify as what? As an av. And then he says, the ayin moed katan, this is really interesting. In moed katan, the Gemara at the beginning of the Masechta addresses shvius. Most of the Masechta is about Avelus and about Cholamoy, but at the beginning there of Moikotin is a sugya about Melecha Shvius, and the Torah prohibits certain Melechas on Shvius because you have to let the Aniyim come in and take the fruit. What happens in a case where we have an action that is Doma? It's similar to the prohibition that's mentioned in the Torah. We have something that has a dimyon. So the Gemara says, lo mahani dimyon zeh. In other words, it doesn't make it into an av. In other words, in Shabbos, there's a unique halacha according to the Rambam that the dimyon and the machshava that's common to both the av and another pula make that other pula into an av. But in Kol HaTor Kula, where there's no halacha of Meleches Machsheves, then for sure we define the pu'ula by its maisa. And therefore, if it's not the same identical maisa, then it's not going to be considered a prohibition. And that's very good, even according to the Rambam. You don't have to say according to Rashi that everything depends upon the maisa. The Rambam would say that in Kol HaTor Kula, outside the bounds of Shabbos, for example, in Shvius, everything depends upon the maisa. And the dimyon b'machshava is not enough. So even though Zomer, for example, could be seen and defined as very similar to Zorea, there's no problem with Zomer, at least on an Av level. We have to talk about Toldos, in Shvius, because in Shvius, the Rambam would admit that it's not the Machshava that determines, but it's the Maisa that determines. And the Rashi would say that in general, Shabbos is like Kol HaTor Kula. The Maisa is critical, and that's what defines it. Meleches Machsheves is some sort of external condition in the Chiyuv. And therefore Rashi would say that Meleches Zomer, even though insofar as Machsheves is concerned, it's identical to Zorea, but since in the Pu'ula, the Tzuras HaPu'ula, it's absolutely antithetical to the Av of Zorea, therefore it cannot be an Av, because to qualify an Av, we don't determine that by machshava, because when we get into the kishkas of defining the malacha, the machshava does not play that role. Again, there's a din of maleches machshavas to set up conditions, but those conditions are extraneous to the shame malacha. And all this, says Totzah Sachaim, is going to lead us to the machlokshin, the Rambam, and Rashi, about chatzishir. Now, you have a different paragraph structure, but maybe you could find the lines that say Lefi zeh nechonim divrei Rashi v'Rambam. Can you find such a thing? And if you do, let us know where it is on the page. So I'll read it to you, and hopefully you'll be able to at some point catch on and plug in. Lefi zeh nechonim divrei Rashi v'Rama l'tamai l'Rashi zal d'malacha b'li machshava gam kein toras malacha alei de'inyan malacha talya rak b'maisa u'kshechasa machshava einu mesalik rak maleches machshavas below. Velo shame hamalacha shapir chatzi shir osur b'shabes kibachol isurin. Rashi defines maleches machsheves as something extraneous to the shame malacha, and even though in the case of chatzi shir, you might argue, as the Rashbam would argue in Bava Basra or the Rambam in Hilchos Shabbos, that it's a deficiency of maleches machsheves, that's not going to be relevant to defining the malacha itself. Is therefore shapir, and this is the punchline of everything we've been doing, Rabosai. Shapir, it makes sense now, according to Rashi, that chatzi shir also b'shabbos kibachol isurim. Why? Because the emphasis is on the maisa, and you did the maisa. Albeit, you did the avera bechatzi shir, but so too if you ate half in the half a kazayis in the veil, you did the avera bechatzi shir, and yet the Torah says it's also in a Torah. Ella, why are you going to tell me that chatzi shir is a chatzi malacha based on the chisarda maleches machshevas? No, Rashi objects. Maleches machshevas doesn't define the malacha. The machshava doesn't define the malacha, and therefore the principle of maleches machshevas is never going to undermine the malacha itself, and therefore if you did a chatzi shir, let's say you baked half of a grogeres or you carried half a grogeres, Rashi's going to say that you did a malacha. Aye, it's not maleches machshevas, so what? Even though it's not maleches machshevas, you still have the basic malacha, because according to Rashi, the machshava is zaitig, as we say in Yiddish. It's on the outside. It's extraneous. The after memelik shachas rashir harei eno maleches machshevis. And by the way, this is a radical departure from everything that we've been assuming. We thought that chatzi shir, according to Rashi, is a fulfillment of maleches machshevis. No, Rashi agrees to the Rashbam and the Rambam that if he only carried a half a shir, baked half a shir, that is a chisarn in maleches machshevis. But maleches machshevis was never empowered to undermine the shame malacha. And therefore, ain't a chatzi malacha. It's a full malacha, but it's lacking in the shir. V'zeh eino. Rashi doesn't want to call it a chatzi malacha, as the Rashbam and the Rambam would have it. Dilo Rashi, hagam she'ena maleches machsheves, but lo nigra, you should underline those words, lo nigra, I would have written lo paka, shem malacha yedezeh. And therefore, if it has a shem malacha, Rashi insists that it comes under the universal halacha of chatzi shir rather than chatzi malacha. If you remember the other day, we spoke about the Yerushalmi and the Bavli in the case of Rabbi Gamliel, ein yedia lechatzi shir or ein yedia lechatzi malacha. Rashi would say the chatzi shir. Omnam, however, in contrast, Le Rambam, according to the Shittas of Rambam, who says that Machshava plays a critical role, and that's why he's willing to upgrade Zomer to an Av, and presumably the Rambam would accept the Shittas of Rashba that a Chok Tochis would be Chayev on Shabbos, because he in this Kaima Machshavto, namely, that Zoreh becomes the archetype to derive the very definitions for Maleches Shabbos in general, which means that Maleches Machsheves, the Machshava that you have, like in the case of Zora, is going to define the Malacha. If Machshava defines the Malacha, then any time that you're lacking in Maleches Machsheves, you're lacking in the very shame malacha. Maleches machsheves is a principle that guides us in defining the very essence of the malacha. Whether or not you have a shame malacha, you don't have a shalcha, that depends upon maleches machsheves. And therefore, in the case of chatzi shir, where you don't have a maleches machsheves, you don't have a shame malacha, and therefore the normal principle that applies universally of chatzi shir will not apply in this case. Al karchach, de ha-machshava t'nai ba-malacha, Machshava defines the very shame malacha. V'siluk machshava, v'siluk shame malacha, levad siluk achiv. If there was no malacha that he put in, it's not just that he's potter, but he's mafkia, he's mesalik to shame malacha. Yishuv b'shabbos leka klal din chatzi shir. According to the Rambam, there is no principle called chatzi shir. Every chatzi shir is a chatzi malacha, and therefore the Rambam integrates chatzi shir together with ze oker v'lo iniach tili olam avi chatzi shir. Dili olam hare avi rak chatzi malacha. Chatzi shir, according to the Rambam, is always defined as a chatzi malacha. The became a deboy maleches machsheves. Shuv im leka rak chatzi shir v'eino maleches machsheves is havi kechatzi malacha shel akir v'lo anocha v'eino asur upashut. Now before I let you go, and again if you have any questions or comments, now is a great time, but I just want to say this. I'm still a little bit of a skeptic. Even though it's a beautiful, beautiful piece, it's absolutely stunning, it's a masterpiece. It's like, you know, if you hired, what's the name of that Japanese architect, what's his name? No, the greatest one, he did the Louvre, he did so much. And if you go to any museum, he works with glass and he works with all sorts of materials. What's his name? No, you guys are not
Japanese.
Yeah, I thought you're more sophisticated than I am. But again, I just forget his name right now. Kahuni something.
No, I forgot his Chihuly
name. Chihuly.
He didn't do the Louvre.
Oh, he didn't do the Louvre, Chihuly?
No.
No, not the Louvre. On the outside of the Louvre. There's a glass. That's a Chihuly, I think. Okay. I don't mean, no, the Louvre itself, I'm sorry, you're right. The Louvre itself is ancient. It's before Chihuly. But there's a famous museum in America that he did recently. It's mind-boggling. I forgot what it's called. This is a masterpiece. But I have only one comment. It's a little bit too black and white for me. What do I mean? It's either or. He's saying that we have to define Meleches Machsheves B'miksha Achas. We have to come to the following conclusion. Is Meleches Machsheves Mafkia the Shem Melacha when it's lacking, or is it not? And it's an either or. If Rashi and the Rambam will argue about Zomer because of Machshava, which means that the Rambam is willing to inject Machshava into the very definition of the Melacha, then that's going to have repercussions all over the place as far as Meleches Machsheves is concerned, that the lack of Meleches Machsheves is going to be mafki, it's going to cancel the very Shem Melach. And on the flip side, if Rashi Shita is that Melach is not defined by the Machsheva but rather by the Maisa, that means the Chisod of Meleches Machsheves is always going to be extraneous to the Shem Melach. And that's going to determine what your opinion is going to be on Chatzi Shir in Meleches Shabbos. But Anochi HaKatan, I'm willing to say that there may be two issues over here. There's one issue as to whether Machshava per se defines the Melacha, and that might very well be, as the Totzos HaChaim presented in Machlok Shin Rashi in the Rambam, that Meleches Zomer, is it an Av or it's not? But then there's another issue, and that's Meleches Machsheves. What did the Torah mean when it said that it required Meleches Machsheves? And I'm not sure what the answer to that question is, but there may be many different answers to that question. It depends what your case is and what the deficiency, the chisar de Meleches Machsheves, might be in any particular circumstance. It could be that Rashi could, again, in theory, agree that when there's no Meleches Machsheves, there's no Shem Melacha. Again, Rashi, in the case of Chatzi Shia, doesn't necessarily apply that principle. But for example, am I willing to say that because the Rambam holds that Zomer is an Av Melacha, therefore ipso facto, I can tie the Rambam down to the position that Chatzi Shir is a Chatzi Melacha? I don't know, Yesh L'chalik. The Rambam might hold that Melacha is defined by Machshava, but in the case of Chatzi Shir, he had a Machshava to do the Melacha. The Torah says that he didn't do enough of the Melacha, and the Rambam is not going to undermine and cancel the Shem Melacha. And therefore, Chatzi Shir, according to the Rambam, theoretically could be Chatzi Shir, not Chatzi Melacha. True, admitted, the Rambam holds that Machshava plays a major role in defining Melacha, and that's why he's willing to upgrade Zomer to the status of an Av. But therefore, I have to commit the Rambam to say that Chatzi Shir is a chisar in the Melach, it's a Chatzi Melach? I don't know. Maybe in the case of Chatzi Shir, he did the full-fledged Melach. Huh? He's potter because of the Halach of Shir. But maybe Chatzi Shir is also in a Torah. What I find here about this approach is that it's a little bit too cut and dry. You know, Machshava doesn't define the Melacha. If it does, then Meleches Machsheves, he had a Machshava, and therefore he's Chayav, he didn't have a Machshava, he's Potter, and that's it. The whole story revolves around that, and any time there's a Chisar Meleches Machsheves, since Machshava defines the Melacha, you don't have a Melacha. I'm not sure. I'm still a bit skeptical. So my friends, this brings us more or less to the end of the Totzos Chaim. I mean, the next paragraph starts with the Ayin Moed Katan, am I correct? Yeah. Gavi Menakesh. So Melina, I'm going to try to look it over, but I don't think that we have to go beyond this. There are a few other, shall I say, bless you, a few other things that I want to finish off, to polish off this discussion that we've had now for a while about Meleches Machsheves. But I think as far as the Tosos Chaim, until you get a notification otherwise, we've complete what we wanted to. Okay then, let me take this opportunity to wish everyone a great Shabbos. And the next time we get together is on Monday, if you can come, on Tuesday. And if you know, I would appreciate it if you can tell me, you know, if your schedules are changing, just so that I know, you know, maybe send me an email if you can, just to give me a heads up as to what your program is, you know, because we're still in Bein HaZmanim officially.